We'll talk about the implications of the scandal involving CIA Director David Petraeus this hour, the scandal that led to his resignation on Friday, including a new development in the news this morning that is linking the top commander in Afghanistan to the scandal. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, November 13th. News of the affair involving Petraeus and his biographer is raising questions over whether classified government data, including information about the attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, was compromised. Some are wondering about the timing of the news and the resignation, with it coming right after the election. Here is former CIA Director Michael Hayden.
With regard to the timing, it's mysterious. I really don't have insight into it. It appears that the Bureau was balancing the law enforcement process, the privacy of some individuals involved, but hanging out there is that requirement in law to keep the intelligence committees fully and currently informed about significant intelligence activities.
Plus, Petraeus was scheduled to testify before Congress this week about the attack in Benghazi. Senator Dianne Feinstein, the chair of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, says that's been postponed for now.
All of this obviously comes as a big shock, and we are very much able to keep things in a classified setting, at least if you know you can begin to think and then to plan, and of course we have not had that opportunity.
Should Petraeus still have to testify about the attack? And did his mistress share classified information when she said there was a secret CIA prison annex at the consulate in Benghazi? We will talk about all of this with our guest political scientist and welcome your questions and your views, your reactions to all of this at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Dale Hirspring is our guest, distinguished professor of political science at Kansas State University, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, a nonpartisan group that meets with foreign policymakers and experts. He served in the U.S. State Department's Foreign Service and in the U.S. Navy. He has written more than 100 articles and 13 books, his latest being Military Culture and Civil-Military Relations, the American, Canadian, German, and Russian Cases. He joins us from his home in Manhattan, Kansas. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you for having me. You
thought that that Petraeus did the right thing by resigning on Friday.
Well, from the standpoint of military culture, I mean, I realize he was retired, but he did the right thing because the man on the top is supposed to set an example. And adultery still in the UCMJ, University Code of Military Justice, is a felony. People, there are people sitting in prison because of it. So I think he did the right thing and by setting the example. And but besides, it's something at that level, you almost have to.
Yeah. Do you, I know there's still a lot to be learned, but do you look at this as, you know, a scandal, or do you look at it as a potential serious U.S. security risk?
Well, at this point, it could be either. I mean, we don't know where Broadwell got the comments that she made about the secret prisons. That's going to be looked at more. And it's obviously a major problem for him and his wife. That's his own thing. But in terms of, we don't know how much Broadwell, being a good journalist, managed to get from him.
Yeah, so do you have questions or concerns about the timing of the news?
Very much. I mean, this is just too, this is like the Iranian shoot down. Everything's held until after the election. I've been to me here in Washington, and it has nothing to do with the party in power, but the parties in power, whoever it is, will always try and hide that stuff when there's an election coming up.
Yeah, so who's... There are some saying that, I don't know, even Republican Congressman Eric Cantor knew this was being investigated. Isn't he supposed to keep quiet if there is an investigation going on?
Well, he's the only one that I know who's been aware of it. I mean, who? Dianne Feinstein should have been aware of it. I mean, that's what you expect to have happen if there's something that's going on, members of Congress. This whole thing is really strange. We started out with one person complaining about getting nasty emails from somebody else, so the FBI looked into it, and all of a sudden they stumbled on this. I kind of suspect this was sort of something, it was not a normal type of operation, because it should have gone right to Mueller and right to the Attorney General. But they ended up sitting on it, and then I don't understand it. I mean, I've been in Washington. You can see if something like that's going on with a person at that level, it immediately goes to other senior people.
So yeah, so you're saying that, and I saw this in the news too, that Attorney General Eric Holder knew about this and sat on it.
Well, he should have. Now, whether I can't, I mean, I'm not in justice, so I can't say what he knew and didn't know. My assumption is, something like this wouldn't go on without he and Robert Mueller knowing about it, because when you get something like this, it's a hot potato. It has all kinds of political ramifications, and so you end up making sure that people at the top are not surprised. I mean, I had a boss once that said to me, you can do anything, but don't surprise me. And that's sort of the thing that I think in this one. Either, it was either that or else the people in the FBI couldn't believe what they were talking about, thought it was sort of a, you know, tawdry sort of thing, but nothing really that critical. Although, given what's coming out now, I don't see how they could have.
Yeah, the you believed that Petraeus needed to resign, but some are also questioning the resignation coming just before he needs to testify or was supposed to testify on the attack in Benghazi. Does that?
Well, yes, it's a problem. I mean, the Republicans have said he will testify one way or another. If they have to subpoena him, they'll do so. But him jumping out now, it could just well be, look, I've had enough of this thing, there's enough of this problem. I'm just, I've got to fix my relationship with my wife. I mean, I've met the general several times, and he came across to me as a really very decent straight shooter. He may just well be saying, look, you know, I've got to mend my fences at home, and I just don't want any part of that stuff. Mm-hmm. It could be as simple as that, or it could be that, you know, Chicago Mafia are pushing him to stay out of it because he'll just make the problem worse from their standpoint.
Who do you mean by the Chicago Mafia?
Well, the whole Democratic leadership. I mean, it could be from there, or it could be from the White House. It's hard to know who would, in fact, be sitting on this. It's conceivable the president didn't know about it because nobody wanted to tell him, but somebody knew about it.
Yeah. Well, is it, I know we're speculating here, but because it has been in the news that Petraeus's extramarital affair and biographer did make some mention at a public event,
right,
about this,
right,
secret CIA prison, and that
the one thing that's come out. Is this pillow talk, or is this, one of the reasons with clearances is you don't want anybody to blackmail you. The second part, you don't want anybody involved who would take your information and put it out on in the press, so forth. How did she know that? I mean, you know, that's a fair question to ask for. And if she got that from Petraeus, then this is a much bigger story than we thought.
Yeah. And, you know, the extramarital affair aside, and how she learned about it, if indeed it's true, doesn't that also give some explanation as to why there was so many mixed messages being sent about that attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi? And maybe it was not for the world to know yet that there was a secret CIA prison there.
Well, first of all, consulates are different from embassies. Consulates usually have almost no security. They're basically there to issue visas and to do work. Propaganda type work. That's what they basically do. And so I doubt if they had one at the consulate. They may have had a place in town in another building. We know that the CIA had a safe house in town, mm-hmm, where they would do that sort of stuff. But I can't believe they'd have the consulate used for it. It makes no sense. It's not built for it.
And also in the news this morning, and you may or may not have even heard this, there is news linking the top commander in Afghanistan.
General Allen. And they now held up his appointment as a NATO commander. He's vehemently denying anything. And I think we're just going to have to wait and don't want to play, pile on the military right now until we know what the hell we're talking about.
Right. He is being investigated, though, for inappropriate communications with the woman who received the threatening emails from Petraeus's.
Yeah, and then you got this strange triangle. I mean, the military is different. It's hard for things to understand. I remember one case where a three-star admiral was summarily retired because he had an affair. His affair came with a woman. He's already had his divorce pending, but he had then had an affair when he had not his divorce was not finalized. He was tossed. So, I mean, this is something that sounds crazy to civilians. But it's important for military order that they have this kind of a thing. Remember the female Air Force officer who, in North Dakota, had a relationship with enlisted personnel, and she was tossed out of the Air Force. So, I mean, this kind of a thing is different with military, and a lot of times civilians just sort of laugh at it, but there's a reason for it.
Do you think that this in any way compromises the end-of-the-war effort in Afghanistan?
No, I mean, I don't see how this is going to hook. This is basically a question of how the military conducts itself almost internally. As far as the Afghanistan war, the president's made it very clear what he intends to do. And I don't think this will have any effect at all on it.
We're talking about the scandal involving CIA Director David Petraeus that led to his resignation on Friday, and talking about all the questions that are being raised about who knew what and when, and whether or not any U.S. security or classified information had been compromised. And we welcome your reactions to this scandal and your questions for our guest, Dale Hirspring, Distinguished Professor of Political Science at Kansas State University. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Checking our weather forecast for today, it's going to be sunny and cold with highs today in the 30s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 21 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, November 13th. Coming up later today, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. After four, now that the elections are over, can the president and the lame duck Congress come together to pass a deal that would avert the fiscal cliff that faces the nation? Ben Marins and his guests will discuss the possibility of a deal being struck and what a deal might look like. That's coming up after four this afternoon. We are talking about news of the affair involving CIA Director David Petraeus and his biographer, and the questions that are being raised now over whether classified government data had been compromised, whether or not Petraeus still has to testify before Congress on the attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi. And welcoming your thoughts, your reactions, your concerns at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let's take some calls for our guest, Dale Hirspring, who is a professor of political science at Kansas State University. He's also a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. And Joe in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, Joe.
Hi, good morning, Joy, and Professor Hirspring. So it seems like, since this has just come out just after the election, that maybe we need to just kind of wait for all the news to come out before we start jumping to conclusions. I mean, Distinguished professor said, you know, maybe it's the Chicago Mafia. And one, it's kind of, it seems like it's just prolonging something we're all kind of done with hearing. And it's time to move on and just wait for facts to come out instead of jumping into conclusions and trying to implicate things that we don't know. There's no evidence so far. There's been no no ties. So it's just a matter of time before these things come out, and I think it's important to let things play out.
All I can say is amen. Unfortunately, I don't think the way our media is set up, that particularly anything involving sex is going to be left under the covers. You're absolutely right. As I said, I have met Petraeus several times. I found him an incredibly impressive individual, and he certainly has done a great service to the country over the years. What he's done. I mean, everybody is human and has their own human weaknesses, whatever they may be. But you're right. Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Joe, for the call. And again, we are trying to talk about some of the issues related to this, like should Petraeus still have to testify before Congress over Benghazi? And you say, Professor Hirschspring, that he should.
Well, the bottom line is Congress can force anybody, you, me, anybody else, subpoena us and force us to testify. So, I mean, if he doesn't want to, I understand that. That's why he's no longer the CIA director. His deputy is planning to testify. But if the committee wants him, he's got two choices: either go there or go to jail, because they can subpoena anybody if they have a good reason as to why they should be testifying.
Yeah. And Todd in Green Bay is with us now. Hello, Todd.
Hi. Good morning. I'm kind of concerned also about the linkage of the people, the players involved here versus the Benghazi attack, and how exactly they're tied in. Also, the fact that this information about this affair apparently had been discovered by the FBI back in, I believe, possibly as early as June, at about the same time that film that was so much a blame for the Benghazi raid was published on the internet. And I'm trying to get a handle on Petraeus's removal. It was very convenient, it seemed, this whole thing came out about a day before he was scheduled to testify. And also, I'm wondering what the position or the disposition of General Carter Ham had to do with this as well. He was directly linked with the raid and directly involved with it. Apparently now has retired from the military. A lot of things are coming up here in addition to this story just being kind of suspicious that it's kind of taking over the headlines from the Benghazi raid. There seems to be a lot of players involved in this, and I'd like to guess to see if we can tie them together. Thank you.
I'd like to be able to tie them together. I mean, I know Carter Ham. He was a commander out here, Fort Riley, the first division. I don't know why he was his current position when he retired was as a commander basically of Africa, anything involving Africa, and of course this involved Africa. So he should have been immediately involved if something was going on for militarily. He should have been the first one, informed. And it was a bit up to him. The Pentagon's released a timeline. The CIA has not released a timeline. At least I haven't seen it. And so it's hard to put all these pieces together. I think we'll eventually get the pieces put together when the committee report, because what will happen is they're going to say, well, it's all classified. Yeah, it will be classified until somebody decides what can they leak to help their side and look good. And so we'll start getting pieces out of testimony this week, probably starting next week or the week after. I wish I could fill in the blanks. I don't know. I wasn't there. I wasn't involved directly in it. I can speculate and say, I can't. Just knowing what I know about both the military and the State Department and the CIA, it seems inconceivable to me that something like this is going to happen without going all the way to the top. Unless somebody at some point makes a decision, I am not going to tell the president about this. Let them hear it tomorrow. And that's just unusual, because when you look at it, who's really responsible for what happened? The president is. He's the commander-in-chief. So when something like this is going on, you always want the boss to be involved. And he said he was involved. They had a meeting, and you want him to be aware of it and give instructions on how he wants it handled.
Our caller said that he thought it was suspicious that Petraeus was removed a day before he said he was supposed to testify. Do you see this as General Petraeus being removed? Didn't he resign?
He resigned. I mean, but there's resignations and resignations. There's an article this morning in the Washington Post saying that, you know, he had planned to stay on and was basically told that this was not satisfactory. He had to resign. And so Washington is a funny place with that kind of thing. You can argue both sides and ends up has nothing to do with both sides. It's got a totally different reason. So I think that you're going to find out that Petraeus may have been told, okay, now's the time and do it before you go up there, because the president doesn't want to take any more flack on Benghazi. But that doesn't stop anything, because eventually he will.
Yeah. Do you, how do you, Professor Hirschspring, view this in this entire story? I mean, is this a big deal, or do you think the media are making much ado about nothing?
Well, I mean, it's either or. It's either the fact that somebody's incompetent in the FBI by not informing everybody above them and they informing other people, or it's just one of these cases that was keep it quiet, keep it shut up until after the election, because we don't want the boss to have any more problems than he has now. My own guess is living in Washington is probably the latter, and I don't say that because the Democratic administration, it'd probably be the same thing under the Republican one when you have an election that coming up.
We're talking with Dale Hirschspring. He is a distinguished professor of political science at Kansas State University, and he is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He served in the U.S. State Department's Foreign Service and in the U.S. Navy. And we are talking with him about the affair involving CIA Director David Petraeus and his biographer, and all the questions that are being raised over whether U.S. security was breached in any way, whether classified government data, including about the attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, was compromised. And we're welcoming your questions and your reactions, too, after we check the latest news. Was the affair between CIA Director David Petraeus and his biographer just a extramarital affair scandal or a serious security concern? Do you think he needed to resign or not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And now that he has resigned, does he still need to testify before Congress about the attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:37 on this Tuesday, November 13th. We are talking about whether this scandal affects U.S. security and welcoming your thoughts and questions for our guest, who is a distinguished professor of political science at Kansas State University and a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, Dale Hirschspring. And we do have Ed on Facebook who says, while an affair is not illegal, the possibility that she had possible access to secure information and had no security clearance, at least at this level, is close to criminal. There is much more to this thing than meets the eye, political speculation aside. So Ed thinks this is close to criminal, Professor Hirschspring.
Article out this morning in the Washington Post, and apparently the FBI, when they finished their investigation, declined to prosecute. They found no reason, no grounds to carry on to prosecute him. So, and it says the FBI informed their boss. It was apparently the Attorney General was informed, and then Clapper was informed. So, I mean, it's clear, if this article is accurate, that it was, and the reason why that we had our member of Congress involved, One of the FBI agents, the one who apparently was contacted, he thought the whole thing was going to be swept under the rug. So he went to his congressman, whose congressman then told leadership, and that's how the leadership in Congress found out about it.
So, Professor Hirschsprung, what are the questions that you think need to be answered right now?
Oh, I just, probably about what everybody else wants to know. I'm less concerned about the sexual aspects, and I am more as Ed was. I want to know about the security thing. I think that the biggest problem is her releasing that information. Where did she get it from, and did it come from him? Was there other information that came from him? I don't want to take the man out and shoot him. He's got a brilliant career. We owe him big time for the surge in Iraq. He's just a genuinely nice person and a brilliant thinker. But I think we need to find out what he knew and didn't know about the whole thing in Benghazi. He's critical, as the Republicans have been saying. You can't have an investigation in Benghazi without having him there.
Isn't there always a risk that this kind of secret information can be bypassed to those who have a personal relationship with anyone?
It's not the first time. It's happened many times, it's just when it was with a journalist, nothing intended, but when it was with a journalist, it's even more dangerous, because what the journalists do, they're going to publish it.
Yeah, but I guess I was thinking not necessarily some extramarital affair with somebody, but I mean, this kind of information could be shared with. It's wrong for somebody, a high ranking government official, to be sharing this even with his.
Oh, absolutely.
Her spouse.
I've had clearances, the existence of which is classified. And you get into those kind of worlds, you don't even talk to the person in your next desk about what you know. I mean, that, and certainly Benghazi, a lot of that was very highly sensitive intelligence. And you're not even supposed to, my wife never knew what I was doing in terms of that kind of stuff. I never talked about it at home. I never talked about it with the people I worked with. It was just, mine, and I shut my mouth.
Yeah. And we have many calls now, so let's go to Teresa in Green Bay. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning, Professor Hirschsprung. I think the media is making a lot more out of it than is necessarily. I believe that General Petraeus is resigning to give his wife the time and commitment that she has given him. And that's why I believe he's resigning.
Well, if you listen to Peter Mansour, who is his aide, I know Peter out here several times. He's that kind of person. And I think that it may, the long and the short of it may simply be that it is his wife. Certainly his relationship with his wife is a matter of concern. And it's a matter of concern to him. 37 years they've been married. I suspect he's doing a lot of mea culpas right now when it comes to his wife, and I don't know their personal relationship other than the fact that it always seems from third hand, it's always seemed harmonious. And her role has been, she's sort of been the typical kind of military wife who has devoted her entire time while he's been in there into helping other military personnel.
Yeah, a spokesperson or a friend of General Petraeus said that to say she is furious would be an understatement. So.
Oh, I just think of what would happen with me if my wife was involved. I mean, mm-hmm. I would have lots of black and blue spots.
Rudy in Milwaukee is with us now. Hello, Rudy.
Hi. I heard yesterday on TV that Eric Baker knew about this 5 weeks ago. He had a mole in the FBI, and now Fox is spinning it like no one was ever informed in the House.
That's not true. I mean, as I mentioned, when you're finished, you go on get the Washington Post up, and it's got a big, long story on it, and it points out that Mueller knew about it. They wouldn't say exactly when the Attorney General knew, but the FBI knew about it in October. The big question is, why did they delay so long? And if you're cynical like me after having lived in Washington, I'd say for political reasons, not because it's just that's the way Washington works, when nothing to embarrass the boss.
Yeah, but help me understand, Cantor's office was notified by an FBI agent who might have been kind of doing an investigation on his own,
If the Washington Post story is accurate, the guy who, in fact, did the thing was who Broadwell went to, got the feeling it was being swept under the rug. So he went to his congressman, who then went to Cantor. And I don't know what Cantor did with the information. We have no idea at this point.
Don't you expect, though, that even though you're cynical about it, since you've been in Washington and think that this was all delayed for political reasons, that, I mean, this is highly sensitive and an ongoing investigation about the CIA director having an extramarital affair, that this isn't something that's just going to be, especially with all of the U.S. security information involved here, it's not going to be broadcast at the first possible opportunity.
No, I mean, as I understand it, the FBI did its investigation and said there was nothing criminal involved, and so they went out. At that point, the FBI agent who brought it to him went to, he went to Dave Reichert from Washington, and Reichert then went to Cantor and told him what was going on. Because it was sort of weird. How in heaven's name does somebody in Congress know about this? Well, it was the FBI agent who was concerned it wasn't being handled correctly. He went and made it known to Reichert, who made it known to Cantor. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Cantor did with the information. I have no idea.
Yeah. So you think this was being covered up then, Professor Hirschsprung?
Well, I think at this point it's so confusing. I don't want to say that. I suspect that, but I don't want to say it's being covered up because we don't have enough of the pieces together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this piece in the Washington Post today brought all kinds of things I didn't know about, and I've been reading this stuff everything I can find. So I think in the next couple of weeks we're going to get more pieces out of it, and then it's put it this way: it's not a case at this point that the White House can cover up if it wants to. It's already enough out now, and there are enough good journalists who are snooping around who will find the pieces.
Next, we go to John in Richland Center. Hi, John.
Hi, good morning. Professor, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on and helping to spread some light on this. From my point of view, when I'm in Richland Center, I'm listening to NPR. When I'm in Madison, I listen to Fox News. When you listen to Fox News 10 days ahead of before the election, one could almost see something like this was coming. I just want the people on the left to realize that while that man was being dragged through the streets of Benghazi, a very fine person named Romney was being dragged through the mud by the Chicago Mafia. Thank you very much. I just want you people on the left to realize who your president is, Santa Claus, who gave them
John, you're
away.
Not. Why don't you say what you're trying to say? I mean,
I'm saying that the president knew about all of this, and the left buried this so that it wouldn't come out and affect the election.
What did the president know?
He knew everything, and don't kid yourself. He knew it all, and he'd rather go to Las Vegas and get reelected and face the facts. This is going to come out someday, and I really want the people on the left to understand who you voted in. Thank you.
Well, all right. I'm trying to get John to say, what is it that President Obama knew about, Professor Hirschsprung?
Well, what I would say is, I think John is right if things are handled the way they should be, but I can't say for I don't know if Holder told him. Mueller told Holder knew about it. Whether he then called it the president, he should have. Okay, I mean that's just the way government works. If you're having a problem and an embassy someplace and it's serious, Secretary of State's got to know about it because she's the only one who can fix it, and then she should tell the president. So I mean, in a normal affair, and I'm not, I've been in this White House. In normal affair, the president would know about it. He would have known anything that major. If the resignation is coming, he's going to know about it, or else he's told his people, don't bother me with problems. You take care of them yourself. Now that may be his leadership style, and he doesn't want to know about these things. So maybe he didn't.
I think John was this. I don't think John thought that. Maybe he did think President Obama knew about the affair, but I think what he was saying was that. That he thinks the whole attack on the consulate in Benghazi was something the media was helping the president cover up, because he said Fox News was reporting on it, and President Obama was in Las Vegas,
and the media was clearly, in my view, was clearly in the tank for the president during this last year, with the exception of Fox News. And so the whole thing on Benghazi, I mean, it's just weird. Once the president says it was happening, we had the council together, and we talked about it, and you don't find any more out about that. No, I knew it was terrorism, and then we had that absolutely absurd nonsense that it was because of this stupid film that was produced in California. And they kept saying that for 11 days. I remember Rice's hitting five talk shows and giving that. It was either that the whole thing has either been handled with great incompetence, or they try to sweep it under the rug.
Yeah. So why they didn't want to right off the bat say this was a terrorist attack? So what?
That goes into their whole policy toward Islam, toward the Fort Hood massacre, and the president along was saying that Al Qaeda was dead. Because he got Osama bin Laden, Al Qaeda was dead. Terrorism was gone. And then if you play this up, then basically the whole thing in Benghazi contradicts what he'd been saying throughout the entire election campaign.
Yeah, I guess I always heard even Rice saying that this now mistakenly that this was a protest that was hijacked by terrorist extremists.
Yeah, that's what she said. And she said she was on five different TV stations and saying that. And at that time...
Right, but not denying that it was a terrorist attack.
Well, it depends what you mean by that. Terrorist attack is what it normally meant, is a organized, coherent group. As far as we know, there was no demonstration. This was using modern weapons. You can't use mortars. You can't use RPGs unless you know what you're doing and how to handle them. And you don't need to come to a demonstration with those. Whether there was a few people yelling around, who knows? But when she was on her thing, TV, and when the president spoke at the UN, everything was given the presence that this was, not a terrorist action as per se that. He made the one use of the word in the White House, the garden, when he made that speech. But then everything he said after that was to belie it until it became so obvious he absolutely had to say it. And having been in embassies, there's no excuse for not providing security. And whether that went to Hillary or not, I don't know. But the embassies, when they're pleading for security, and what did Washington do? They took it away. And so you're just asking for people. The British ambassador was almost assassinated. The other people left. But no, we're going to be nice and show the people that we like them, and we're not going to run away. Well, fine, but what do you think you've got your Marines for?
We need to take a break. We are talking with Dale Hirschspring, professor of political science at Kansas State University, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, about the implications of the resignation of CIA Director David Petraeus. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. It's going to be a sunny, cold day today with highs in the 30s. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Stay tuned. Coming up, it's On Your Money. We'll have financial planner Kevin McKinley here to answer your personal finance questions coming up. in our next hour. Our next caller is Janet in Madison. Hello, Janet.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I was just wondering what the difference is between General Petraeus and General Dwight D. Eisenhower so many years ago, who came home as a hero and had an affair with his secretary and yet became president of the United States.
I'm sorry, something went haywire with my phone. I didn't hear the question.
General Dwight D. Eisenhower had an affair with his secretary and came back to a hero's welcome and was elected president of the United States.
Yeah, life isn't fair. Was I be rich as well as good looking? There are different times, different cases. Eisenhower was bigger than life, and Petraeus is important, but not in the same level Eisenhower was. I mean, there were times when, as I mentioned, when I saw an admiral loses his stars because he had an affair, and he was already divorced, but the year hadn't come final. So all I can tell you is I don't think it was fair, and Eisenhower was still a military man, and it was hushed up through most of his time, and then when you become president, presidents can do no wrong.
Let's also talk a little bit about cabinet replacements in the post today. Yeah. President Obama is apparently considering asking Senator John Kerry to serve as his next defense secretary.
Susan Rice for Sec State.
Yeah, Susan Rice as Secretary of State. Then I guess they're also going to try to figure out a permanent replacement, the CIA director. What are your reactions to that shuffle?
Well, it's normal. I mean, it happens in every administration. The same thing happened when Bush had a second time over. Some people were replaced. Colin Powell left as Sec State and brought in Condi. It's not unusual for people to these jobs in Washington, those kind, are incredibly exhausting. I mean, you go up 20 hours a day and you're just running from one place to another, making decisions. You're scared that, my God, I can't believe I'm actually making a decision. So, I mean, 4 years is an awful long time for somebody to be at that pace, working 7 days a week most of the time. And I would say anybody who wants to leave, go with God and thank you for what you've done.
Yeah, and you have no issues with Secretary of State Susan Rice?
I would prefer she not be there. I think after what she did, I think you're right saying that she's got the inside track because of her relationship with the president. On the other hand, I would prefer not to have her there because I think she's already, by making all those comments, she was the fall guy, in essence, for the administration. But she's now, been noted as having that kind of a role, and I think that she's going to probably have a lot of opposition in the Senate.
Well, we have just a minute to go. You have said that you think General Petraeus will still testify about Libya, and we're going to be hearing a whole lot more information about this.
Oh, I think every day more is coming out. I mean, you know that world better than I, but this is just like giving candy to a baby for a journalist to find another piece of this, another part of it. And it's not necessarily the New York Times is going to be the one breaking it. People finding information everywhere.
We'll leave it there for now. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, too.
Dale Hirspring, Distinguished Professor of Political Science at Kansas State University, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He's written many books, his latest being Military Culture and Civil-Military Relations, the American, Canadian, German, and Russian Cases. Thanks to Bill Martins for producing the hour. Thanks to Rob Ferret for on-air production. And thanks to Amanda Magnus for on-air direction. Stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.